Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Jenny and Patrick, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
We are so happy to be back. I'm here with the Poet Master, Patrick.
Good morning, Commissioner Gordon.
And we are here today to talk with Ruth from the Heart Pantry. We're so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you for coming out this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so we are talking about Heart Pantry. So let's start with what in the world is the Heart Pantry? We learned it started out as a church mission like 10 years ago. How did it evolve from that into what it is today?
More hungry kids than one church could handle.
So
we started out in the old Presbyterian church in downtown. And my husband and I had just moved here from North Carolina. And we were in the pastor's office, and a lady came in and asked the pastor for $100 from the church because she had hungry kids at Peoria High School. So, you know, we kind of looked at each other and said, what are we getting ourselves into here? But anyway, ultimately, we bought groceries and put them in our garage, and this lady would come and get them and distribute them. Well, that went on for about maybe 4 months. And she got attacked in the parking lot by some people. Anyway, my husband said, we're not doing this. This is dangerous. So from that, we got the whole church involved. And we set up the Peoria Youth Pantry. And then that went on for about 18 months. And by then, we had all of the high schools in the Peoria district that needed food. These are McKinney-Vento children, students. They're ages 13 to 19, and they are considered at risk or homeless. They may be living in cars, or they might just be living with a neighbor or a friend. But that's considered homeless because if that mother gets up in the morning and says, you can't sleep on this couch tonight, he's homeless. Anyway, it mushroomed, and it went to all the Peoria schools, and by then, our little church couldn't afford it. We just couldn't handle it. So our daughter, who is a tax attorney, said, Mother, you've just got to incorporate so you can get grants. And that's when we applied to the IRS and became Heart Pantry, and Heart Pantry means helping at-risk teens. My grandson came up with the name, actually. And that's how we started. And that was in 2014. So we're in our 10th year as Heart Pantry, 12th year as the whole ball of wax.
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've gone from those first 10 kids to 300 a
week.
Wow. That's every week.
It's really incredible. So you were there from the very beginning.
I founded it. Yeah. It's my company, my nonprofit.
I was wondering if Heart Pantry was an acronym. Mm-hmm. Thanks for filling us in on that. Our last episode, we talked to George Colebrook from the
Flex.
Peoria Flex Academy. Mm-hmm. And I guess you guys work pretty closely with them.
We do.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned that a lot of the kids are Vento?
McKinney-Vento. It's a state statute that describes an at-risk teen.
Oh, okay.
At-risk youth, actually.
Okay. Hmm. Thanks for explaining that. Yeah, I hadn't heard that term before.
We live by it. And the reason being that we had to stop somewhere. We had to establish something or we would have been inundated. And so we used that statute.
Okay.
And all of the social workers and school officials work for that. There are certain things that a school district has to provide to a McKinney-Vento child.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, we know that Heart Pantry is, in fact, a food assistance, but do you guys do other sort of assistance for these at-risk teens?
Mm-hmm. We do bicycles. A lot of these kids start out in a school district, and then they get thrown out of their house for whatever reason, and they want to continue in that high school because that's the only thing they know. That's their security. So if they're not on a bus route, they can't get to school. So my husband runs the bike program, and we take gently used, well, sometimes really badly used, bicycles, and we have a gentleman in El Mirage who fixes them. And then we give them out, and they get a bike and a lock. And then the lock is probably more important than the bike.
Yes, because we've actually invested in that in the library because of that problem.
So these kids also want to work. A lot of them have to work. We had one girl that was working, oh my goodness, way in North Peoria somewhere, till 10 o'clock at night. And the place she was staying was behind Walmart on Peoria. And she was walking home, and we all had a heart attack thinking how dangerous it was. If they have a bike, they can put it on the bus and take the bus, which we give them bus passes, and then it's much safer. But then we also do hygiene products. They get toiletry bags, either male or female, once a month, and it's toothbrush, toothpaste, shampoo, body wash, all of that kind of stuff. In small sizes because it's got to fit in their backpacks. And they don't want a big toothpaste because they're going to leave it somewhere. We used to do clothing. Now we have a relationship where we have student support funds, and I go to the next to new store. And if we just did a kid at Kellis who was without clothing, and I just get his sizes and stuff, I go buy it. And we ask them what colors they like and that kind of thing. I still never see the kid. I never know them.
Oh, wow.
And we take it to the school. We also do feminine hygiene products, and that's new. But the schools don't have them anymore. And we have all these little girls from ages 13 on, and they don't have any supplies. So we work with Women for Women. We're going to have a party next Saturday where we pack kits for a week, you know, the week of the period. And it's in a little brown paper bag with a sticker on it, and a nurse or whoever can just hand them out. Graduation gifts. They all get, anybody that's in our program for the period and graduates, they get $100 in gift cards from us and a card. And in most cases, that's the only gift they get.
Wow.
At Christmas, we give them a $25 gift card and a fast food gift card.
Oh, that's,
and they love
that's
being
cash
able to
money
go.
Right there, yeah.
They love being able to go to McDonald's or wherever. So, we try to, and we respond. I mean, there's been times when it's been a very strange thing that we gave because somebody needed it. So.
I saw the testimonials about the bicycles on the website. There were some pretty moving stories. Yeah. So everything you're talking about ties into, you know, the pantry's stated mission of taking sort of a holistic approach to the child. But in terms of the items you give, it certainly sounds like you're trying to address all their needs. What other organizations do you also work with to try and to help them on different fronts?
Well, you know, we're very unique. As far as sending a kid somewhere else, I really can't because I don't know them. They come, the counselors come to us, and we do our best. And then, I mean, I've done everything from sleeping bags to pillows to whatever. If, especially boys, we don't give boys sheets and towels and things because they don't want them. But we give them a sleeping bag and a pillow. And if they're stuck in a car, now not in the summer so much, but in the winter, they don't freeze. We work with people like the Hive group, which is Colleen's group here in the area. I'm a member of that. And we do that for raising funds, for getting our word out, what we need, and that kind of thing. But as far as literally working with another group, we don't.
So the counselors are your main point of contact at the schools?
Counselors, SROs, we love, you know, our social workers, which we're losing, is so disastrous. We lost all the social workers in Dysart because of the COVID funds dried up and they let them all go. And that is so sad.
It's tragic.
It is. It is tragic. So we have a nurse over there that is taking over, but the kids don't go to the nurse that would go to a social worker. They don't ask the right questions.
Yeah.
The gentleman that you mentioned who repairs the bikes for you, he's just a volunteer. He doesn't work with any specific organization aside from yours.
Nope. He
just volunteers his time.
He is a computer guy, but he's a bicycle guy. And, we have 52 volunteers, and most every one of them is retired. I think the youngest person on the staff of the whole thing is 60, and she's the president of the board. I mean, we have people in their 80s that come on Thursday mornings. They'll be there now packing, and they'll pack the weekend bag. Every one of these students gets a weekend bag of 18 shelf-stable items. Might be canned goods. It will be some canned goods. Pop-tops. Mm. They get milk, which is stable for a year. They get juice. It's a pretty good menu. It's enough for 5 meals if they do it right. And I don't know if they do it right.
Right.
But it's from Friday noon when they get school food, or can, until Monday morning when they have breakfast. Now, each student that gets a weekend bag qualifies for 4 supper bags, and that's a lesser amount, but they don't have any food at night when school's not in session either. So
yeah. So you mentioned 52 volunteers, which is a really nice number, but if people wanted to actually volunteer and help out, how would they go about doing that?
They have to go to the website, and there is a form on there, and then there is a volunteer coordinator who will contact them.
Okay.
And set up. It's hard work. They're loading these bags into cars after they're filled, and they're heavy. So, we have issues sometimes.
Yeah. But I know that because you mentioned Colleen that at least once a year, the Gobble Gobble Gratitude, Summon Rise actually packs the bags. And
they pack the goodie bags that go out at Christmas.
Oh, okay. That's what the packing.
And
okay.
It's a little bitty bag. And in that is their gift cards additionally.
Okay.
But yeah, and we'll do that this year again. This will be the third year. But one of the students from I think she's from Sunrise Mountain or Liberty, pretty much runs the program.
Oh, okay.
And we love Lorelei. She's delightful. Mm-hmm. And she's a student there. But she works with us. And
yeah, she's a good volunteer. I've met her.
It's fun. It's tiring. But we're now doing all kinds of church bazaars, because we have a table and we just give out our information. Mm. We don't sell anything or anything, but it's a good way to connect with the people, because we do all of the Dysart schools and all of the Glendale schools. Mm. So that's 3 whole districts, and we need to get our word out.
That's what we do here at the library too. There's so many people who don't have access or are too far away or don't have transportation. So we try to get out there and do outreach programs.
Yeah.
And like you said, just have a table where we're not selling anything. We're just trying to let you know what we can do
right,
for you.
Right. And, I partner with Bomba Socks, and I have, I don't know if that's the way you buy one, and they give one. It's on the online. They're beautiful socks. And we're about to get 4,000 pairs, and they will be gone in a year.
Speaking of socks, so I know Jenny asked you about your small army of volunteers and also how people who were interested might get involved and donate their time. But let's say someone doesn't have time to donate, but they want to donate either food or maybe money directly to you. How could they go about doing that? Where would they go to do that?
Again, the website. We have a brand new, we've spent a lot of money and invested in a big new website.
Ooh.
With GoDaddy. And it is paying off.
Is it just heart.com?
It is heartpantry.org.
Heartpantry.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to make sure
and
you're saying the website.
H-A-R-T for all you people at home there. HARTpantry.org.
Mm-hmm. And there's a place for a donate button. They can donate right directly there. Or there's an address for where they want to send a check. A lot of our churches do fundraisers.
Yeah.
Last night we got a check for $5,000 from Heritage Presbyterian Church. It comes out of their mission money.
And what sort of items? Like, I know here at Maine, we do a drive for Heart Pantry around Thanksgiving because it's a time of higher need. What sort of items are you looking for when people want to donate items?
They all have to be single serve and shelf stable. They can't need to be cooked. They can't need to be refrigerated because these kids don't have access to that. We probably purchase the most expensive items on the market because they're all little and they're all individual. But like Jif to Go and small crackers, that's ideal. It's good protein. We do juice boxes. We do protein bars. Kind of thing. And again, there is...
So not the regular size peanut butter? Because that lasts pretty long. Okay, so
10-ounce, small... We like the 10-ounce jars, which we can get at Dollar Tree, but that's becoming difficult. So we get 16-ounce, and I'm sure some of it gets wasted. But they each get a loaf of bread every week, or they get a loaf of bread 1 week or tortillas on the other week.
Mm.
And it's always fresh enough that it will keep a week without... going moldy on them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to eat a week on that jar of peanut butter. And we give them cans of, ramen. Everybody lives on ramen, right? And the lunch cups of ramen that you can put, we talk to the kids. We have kids that come from the ombudsman schools, which is one of the alternative schools. And they unload pallets and things for us because those kids want to give back. They're the only ones we ever get to meet, and they're there today, I think, unloading something. They will tell us, oh, well, I just leave it in my car in the sun, and it'll heat, and then I can eat it at night.
Hey.
You know.
DIY microwave, I love it.
Yeah. So it's that kind of thing. And they eat things that... we would think at home, oh my, I don't want to eat that. They eat it. If you're hungry enough, eat it. There's a tuna pack that is a can of tuna fish, and it has 4 or 5 crackers in it. Those are good. Things like that. We are not food handlers. My husband and I were at one point. I think I let mine relapse at this point. But we don't change the packaging of anything that comes in. So if people would just think of that, however it comes in is however it's got to go out.
Okay.
So if it's a protein bar, that's fine. If it's a 5 pound of green beans or dry beans or dressing mix or cake mix, which we get, we're not going to keep it. We're going to pass it on. And we partner with some other people like... Valley View Food Pantry. And it doesn't waste. We get goes.
That's good to hear. Yeah. So for everyone listening at home, it's single serving, individually packaged items is primarily what you're looking for. Yeah. They're not those big economy size jars of peanut butter you get from Costco.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Because you can't do much with that, right?
Get the Jif to Go packs from Costco. That's what you want.
Yeah. And, you know, anything that could be eaten in one meal is if they would just think that way. Jerky sticks. Our kids love jerky sticks. And they're 12 ounces, they're 12 grams of protein.
Our producer, Adam, he loves jerky.
So we buy it by the pallet load, actually. Mm. That's a lot of jerky sticks.
All right, so you sort of already answered my next question, but you did say that there are some kids that have benefited from the program that have come back to volunteer and help out afterwards?
No, they're in school now. They're still there, but they have an advisor with a car or a van, and they come. That's part of their curriculum to give back, and they come when we call them. We have to give them some notice, but they're such delightful kids to work with.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
And these are the kids that can't make it in the regular school program or don't need all of that stuff. They're looking for, they want something that they can make money with and get on with their lives.
Yeah.
But they're wonderful young people. And
when we spoke with George from the Flex Academy, he emphasized that giving back, volunteering was a really big part of what they did.
Yeah. They would love to come, but unfortunately, their hours don't match when our pallets are coming in.
That's too bad.
That's why we don't use Flex for that.
Well,
they did do a focus group for us, though. Ooh. And that was very, very beneficial. He helped do that, and they did it within the school. So, because you know we're all old people, we don't know what the kids want to eat.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it helps just to ask them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
best way to find out what you need to
best
know.
Way,
right?
Kids nowadays
right,
will tell
right
you.
Yes,
source.
They will. Always count on a kid to be honest. All right, well, we are at the library, so we always like to ask our guest if there's any book that you've read that maybe had an impact on you or inspired you to do this or, you know, just kind of like reinforced what the work you do.
There is a book, and I have about 5 copies of it, and it's How to Find God in a Grocery Bag.
Hmm.
And it was, I don't know where I found it, or somebody gave it to me early on. And I can't even tell you who the author is. I was going to look it up yesterday at the office, and I didn't. But that's the name of it. And a lot of our volunteers, we'll ask them to read it. Just because it's a little book. But mainly, I have a saying more than a book. 100 years from now, it won't matter what house I lived in, what car I drove, or anything else, but if I've helped a child, I mean something in this world.
Mm.
And that's what I live by. And my husband does too.
That's a beautiful yeah. quote. I always say something similar to my children, you know, and when I'm ready to leave this world, what kind of regrets am I going to have? Am I going to wish I spent more time working? Am I going to wish I had had more things? No, I'm going to wish I had spent more time with the people I loved and yeah. I had been a better person and helped more people. And it's along the same lines.
I have it on my wall in the office.
Yeah.
And it's just there, you know. I'm
always good to have reminders like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a good segue because it is so beautiful and poetic to our new segment of our Poetry Corner.
Poetry Corner.
Where Poet Master Patrick has picked out a poem that we think relates well to our guest, and in this case, Heart Pantry.
Okay, so today's poem is by Joy Harjo. She's a former poet laureate of the United States, the first Native American or First Nations poet laureate of the United States. Mm. I had a surprisingly hard time finding really good poems about this subject, about going hungry, about food insecurity. So for all you poets out there, there's a subject that I really feel like we need to tackle. But I thought this one did a pretty good job of at least addressing how sacred and important food is and the sharing of food is. So I'll go ahead and recite the poem, then we'll have a quick discussion. The world begins at the kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teeth at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table we gossip, recall enemies and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around our children. We laugh with us. They laugh with us at our poor falling down selves as we put ourselves back together once again at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at the table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth at this table, and we have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table while we are laughing and crying, eating the last sweet bite.
Beautiful.
I thought so too. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
She's a phenomenal poet.
Perhaps if our kids all had that kitchen table, they wouldn't be where they are.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing I really liked the name of the poem is Perhaps the World Ends Here. And I was like, where is this going to go? And then I read it and I'm like, oh yeah, because the kitchen table is kind of like the hub of meeting place. And it's like, yeah, you know, you have a lot of arguments there. You have, but then all the joys of all the family gatherings. And I wasn't sure about the baby being born at the table. I was like, that was, felt like some poetic license. I'm like, I don't know about that. But
well, back in the day.
That was my thought. That was my thought.
Okay, well, all right. Yeah. But yeah, that sort of that mixture of, like, you know, the ghosts of past lovers or the death of someone, like, there's always that hole when you see their chair that's no longer being sat in. Like, it's like, that is such a great poetic thing. And yeah, it's like, you don't realize how much you take for granted. And but because these teens, they would love to have something of this nature in their lives. And it's a good way of reminding us that, look at the blessings we have in our daily life.
Well, and I'm a lot older than you are. So the kitchen table was really, really important place. You went to the kitchen table every night for dinner. And it didn't matter if you were a family of three, which I was, or a family of 13. Everybody gathered. And Dad sat at the head of the table and sometimes handed out not the best, but it was, you just were expected to be there.
That's one
it
of the
things. It was the family.
That's one of the things that really drew me to this poem. My parents talked about having the same experience you did, but I didn't. You know, growing up in the 80s, it was this era of kind of, I don't know,
latchkey kid, just
yeah,
figure
I was
it
a,
out.
I was a total latchkey kid, yeah, and we kind of all ate our dinners on our own. But then when I had my own family, I decided I thought that was important. And so, you know, when we have dinner, we put, you know, I make sure they put all their screens away and, you know, nobody has their phone. We sit down together every night and we talk about our day and, you know, what we're going through and all those things. And it's surprising what you find out.
I would think
it's a lost art. More people need to do it for sure.
And it's not the children's fault as much as the parents.
I mean,
the kids, they would come if that's where dinner was.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really what this poem's all about,
feed them,
right?
And they will come. Exactly. Yes.
Food is
you get
such
a teenage boy and you feed him, he'll come.
No doubt about it. I remember being a teenage boy and I remember coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just thought, you know, food is, whether, you know, you're religious or not, it's one of those things, like, you know, they talk in the Bible about people breaking bread together, and it's just this sacred experience, you know, even just your average friend or coworker, just, you know, going out to get a bite to eat or to get some coffee together outside of work is like, it's this experience which is totally different from the experience you have, you know, in a professional setting or somewhere
or
else. It's
on your
it's
phone.
Deeper and more meaningful. Yeah, absolutely. And I just felt like this poem really spoke to that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing and finding it. And thank you, Ruth, for coming out and interviewing with us.
Thank you.
We're so excited that you were able to come and we learned more. Like, I knew a little bit about Heart Pantry, but that's why we do these podcasts, is because my information knowledge has gone from a little to a lot. So thank you for that.
And well, thank you. Anytime we get a chance to talk about our kids, we like to do that.
Absolutely. I'm so glad we're able to help you, just in our small way, get this message out to more people. Because
lots of small ways make, you know, make the whole experience.
I think the work you're doing is amazing, and it's so laudable. And I just want to say thank you.
Oh, I hope we can keep going.
Yeah.
So if we don't age out, we'll keep going.
There you go. So shout out to Peoria Public Library. I know, I don't know if the Gobble Gobble Gratitude at Sunrise will have happened. I don't know the date, so that may have already happened in the past or the future. But I know for sure that the Peoria Main Library is going to be having a food drive. So remember those individual packages. We will be taking those donations right up until the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then we'll give them to the community center, who will then give them to Heart Pantry.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Ruth.
Welcome to a segment we like to call Boop, 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 Under the Radar. This is where we highlight events happening right here in Peoria that you may not be aware of. First up is the Gobble Gobble Gratitude event we mentioned in this episode. I have a date for you now. It's on Wednesday, November 20th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Sunrise Mountain Library. The Friends do request that you sign up using the signup.com link located on their Facebook page so they know how many people to expect at this event. While on their Facebook page, you can also purchase tickets for the Friends Fall Holiday Basket Fundraiser that's happening from now until Wednesday, November 20th. They have four different theme baskets that contain over $250 worth of items, gift cards, and experiences, like a backstage tour of TheaterWorks during their Christmas Carol production, or behind the scenes at the Lego store in the Arrowhead Mall. These baskets are themed, so you can try your hand at the holiday movie magic. So if you are a movie buff and want to have yourself some Harkins swag, then this is the basket for you. The other three are themed to familiar tunes, such as Santa Paws is Coming to Town. If you have a furry friend in your life or want to try your hand at getting a stuffed furry friend, then this is the basket for you. Holly jolly, let's eat out in the Acacia District. If you like eating out in, you guessed it, the Acacia District, which is right here in South Peoria, whether it's the Novel Ice Cream Truck, which if you're brave enough, they sell donuts stuffed with ice cream, then this is the basket for you. Walking in a Lego Wonderland. If you are a Lego master and want even more Legos in your life, then this is the basket for you. In all seriousness, tickets are three for $10 or seven for $20 if you really want to increase your chances for winning. All the money will go to the Friends of the Library, which they will use for future library programming. Speaking of having fun while spending your money, did you know that the Saturday after Thanksgiving is called Shop Small Saturday? It's where people are encouraged to shop local on that particular Saturday. If you go to peoriaaz.gov and you type in Shop Local, you'll be redirected to a page that has a restaurant directory as well as where to shop right here in Peoria. Whether it's right here in Old Town Peoria, where I'm currently recording, or if you want to try out the new North Italia that opened up at P83, or you want more of the four corners of the Lake Pleasant Town Center. So we hope that you will shop small, and specifically shop Peoria on Shop Small Saturday. I would be remiss to not mention the winter reading program that we're having right here at Peoria Library. Just like our summer reading program, the winter reading program is a way we encourage kids to continue reading even over those winter breaks. The great thing, though, is it's for all ages. So kids, teens, and adults are encouraged to sign up. You get a prize just for signing up, a little tchotchke, and then you read 20 minutes for 20 days, and you come back with your finished game board to the library, and you get another prize, along with a register to win slip to possibly win a prize basket. Each age group, whether kids, teens, or adults, will have different prizes, but they all have a prize for signing up and for finishing. The winter reading program runs from November 18th through January 6th. We encourage you to read 20 minutes for 20 days, so please sign up for the winter reading program. Lastly, you may have noticed our podcasts are dropping on a different day. These podcasts are still going to be coming to you every 2 weeks. It's just they will be coming to you on Thursdays instead of Fridays. Thank you so much for joining me as I take you under the radar. Boop, boop, boop.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.